Oh, welcome back to Opening Up the Tent podcast. I'm your host, Father Craig Hallway, pastor at Mary Queen of Peace in Webster Groves. Greetings to all of you now in the thick of the cicada swarm. The cicadas are coming. The cicadas are coming. The cicadas are coming. Jimmy, are you afraid of cicadas?
I'm not.
Welcome, Jimmy Vreeland, my co-host and member of our community and a good friend. I'm glad to know that you're not scared of. I've not seen too many around. Have you seen cicadas around?
I haven't, it's still like kids are still in school, so we haven't been out that late.
Right on, right on. Yeah. So, well, the cicadas are coming, everyone. So, batten down the hatches. I went to the dentist today, and the hygienist was telling me that she lives out in Jefferson County or somewhere, and she was saying that they're everywhere out there. They're everywhere, and I made a joke as she was poking and prodding around in my mouth that it was, a infestation like Exodus, like locusts. She thought that was pretty. She's a Catholic. She thought that was pretty funny. So I'm not too sure if she thinks I'm pretty funny, but she thought my cicada joke was pretty funny. So, anywho, Jimmy, what do you want to talk about today?
This week's homily.
Yeah. So I got a lot of good feedback. So I presented, I preached a homily, friends. So let's see, this past weekend. So Jimmy and I are recording this on the 8th of May. So it's a Wednesday, it's an 8th of May. And last weekend, so that'd be the weekend of the 4th and the 5th, I preached the 9 and 11 o'clock masses on Sunday morning. And if you were there, you heard me present something that I'm calling the Great Challenge. And it's sort of this mixture of the Great Commission that closes Matthew's gospel, go and make disciples of all nations, and then the greatest commandment, which is you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and strength, and your neighbor as yourself. And so you sort of combine the greatest commandment with the Great Commission, and you have what I like to call the Great Challenge. But I took a little while getting there. I took a little while getting there. And so what we want to do today is we're going to talk a little bit about this homily. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to sort of represent the readings, because the homily was sort of based on the readings, deep readings, and then I'll sort of summarize and represent my homily. But before I do that, Jimmy, maybe if you can just talk a little bit about why you want to talk more about this, and then sort of what resonated in you as I was preaching on Sunday.
I mean, when you mentioned challenge, and then one of my favorite things about being Catholic is all the dichotomies and all the paradoxes. So this challenge you presented is a dichotomy. It's like I like being on the line between chaos and order. And I was just like, so I mean, like you pulled like eight ideas together. So I'm sitting in church and I'm just like, that's pretty deep what he just talked about. That's a, I need to chew on that longer for 10 minutes. 'Cause like, we got done with the homily, we got the Eucharist, and then boom, back to life. And I'm like, wait a minute. I need that presented to me more than once. So why don't I text Father Craig and see if we could get this recorded? So, like a really good podcast, I'll listen to it, or a few times. Something really good on Hollow, I'll listen to it a few times. So I was, not to put the pressure on you, but in the next hour, if you could make this happen for the parish, that'd be awesome.
Right on, right on. Yeah, I will certainly do that, or I'll at least try. But before we do that, but before we started recording here, this podcast off the air, Jimmy and I were talking just a little bit about preaching, and you said something interesting, sort of around preaching on a particular theme over the course of several weeks, right? So you had mentioned that Father Schmitz might be doing that on his his podcast, his website, and that's really not, I don't want to say that that's not done in our Catholic tradition, but it's certainly not, it's not normal for a priest to sort of preach on say a theme, you know, like, okay, we're going to preach 4 weeks on grace, or 4 weeks on a particular, you know, doctrinal matter of the church. You know, that's really unheard. I don't, again, I don't want to say it's unheard of, but it's just, it's very rare, I would say. Let's put it that way. But I see Jimmy's insight that that would be helpful for us to spend sort of a weaving sort of a golden thread through several weeks of preaching. So it might be something to think about as we go on, it's actually a really good idea. So thanks for bringing that up, Jimmy. Okay, so here's what we're gonna do. We're gonna what I'm gonna do is I'm gonna sort of summarize the readings that I used to that were proclaimed this past Sunday at Mass, and then I'll give a summary of the homily that I preached, a detailed summary, and then we'll talk about how sort of the challenge comes in at the very end, right? Okay, so it's the sixth Sunday of Easter, and for the last 5 weeks, okay, since Easter Sunday, we have been making our way through the Acts of the Apostles in the first reading of Mass, right? So the first reading on Sunday has been coming from the Acts of the Apostles. And really, it's been coming from at daily Mass too. So, anyways, we've been making our way through the Acts of the Apostles. And this past Sunday, on the sixth Sunday of Easter, we had Acts chapter 10, which is the story of Peter and Cornelius. Okay, so Cornelius is a Roman who is he is called several times a fearer of God. Okay, or a believer. Okay, and so what we can glean from this is that Cornelius has some sort of familiarity with the Judeo slash early Christian God, okay, and that God's association with Jesus of Nazareth. And so what happens is Peter and Cornelius meet up, and Cornelius, who is a faithful Roman subject, bows down and gives homage to Peter. Now, here's why that's significant. In ancient Roman culture, Romans worshiped the emperor as a god. And so when Peter walks into Cornelius's presence, Cornelius not only has been worshiping the emperor, but now he's going to start worshiping another human being, Peter, because he thinks by worshiping Peter, he would be worshiping God. And Peter says to Cornelius, you know, knock it off, get up, right? Get up. I'm just another human being. You're not worshiping me. In truth, you're going to worship the only God. In fact, not only are you going to worship God, but you're going to stop worshiping another human being, and that is the emperor. So no more worshiping human beings. No more worshiping all these other gods with the lowercase g. You're going to be worshiping God and God alone. Then he goes on to draw a connection. He preaches the word to Cornelius, and he makes a connection between God and Jesus Christ. And when he does that, Cornelius and his entire household is baptized. Okay. And then the story goes on. Cornelius, the reason it's significant is that Cornelius's name is retained even until 2024. So here we are, 2,000 years later, and we still remember. So what we can glean from that is that Cornelius became an active member of the church so much that his name is retained in our history. Okay, so that's the first reading. I didn't really touch on the second reading all that much. It comes from John's Gospel. I'm sorry, the letter of John. And it's the very famous line, the one-liner, right? Deus caritas est, right? God is love. So let's just sort of glance over that real quick. And then now let's arrive at our gospel passage, okay? Our gospel passage comes from John chapter 15, and it's a continuation from the fifth Sunday, so two Sundays ago. And it's the parable of the vine and the branches, okay? I am the vine, you are the branches, right? And Jesus says very famously, this is where I preached on the fifth Sunday of Easter, without me, you can do nothing, right? You can't do anything without me. Okay, I preached on that. But this sixth Sunday of ordinary time, Jesus says, remain in my love. Remain in my love. And that word remain is a slight word choice mistranslation, right? The word in Greek is actually closer to abide, abide, abide. And that word, of course, gets transliterated into English as, well, abide, and you abide in your abode, right? So Jesus is basically saying, make your home in me. Where you rest, make your home in me. But then he says, and this is my commandment then, love one another. And then he says, and if you love one another, my joy will be in you and your joy will be complete. And so now we have this presentation between the second reading from John's letter and now John's gospel, where Jesus says, love one another as I have loved you. You basically have the greatest commandment, right? The greatest commandment that is presented in all the gospels. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and strength, and your neighbor as yourself. It's as old as Exodus. Jesus updates it and gives it to us as the greatest commandment. Okay. Okay. Now, what about the Great Commission? Okay, now let's go back. Okay, so those are the readings. Okay, now here's a summary of the homily. Okay, so let's stop right there. Jimmy, any insights or questions or comments you want to make just about the readings?
No, I think I'm good there.
Okay, so now let's talk about the gospel. Let's talk about the homily. Okay, here's what I said. I said, there are days when I'm not too sure who's in charge. And I can imagine that that's what it was like in the early church. And here's why I said that. In the Acts of the Apostles, you see this constant movement, and it seems disorganized. And the reason I bring that up is because Mary Pentecost, our music director, she pointed out to me a passage from Acts 15 in which it says that Paul was moved by the Spirit not to enter Asia, which would be modern day Turkey. Okay. So here's Paul, who's traveling all over the place, and he gets to the shores of Turkey, and the Spirit says, nope, don't go there. And the Spirit sends him elsewhere. Then, earlier in the Acts of the Apostles, you have Philip hooking up with, of all people, an Ethiopian eunuch, right? So not a Jew, not even really a Greek, a Ethiopian eunuch. And you're like, what? Then you have Peter connecting with Cornelius, this sort of emperor-worshipping Roman. And then you have the Spirit bringing Paul into the equation. Saul, before he became Paul, Saul is this fervent Jewish Pharisee, right, who presides over Stephen's martyrdom, his execution. And now he's a part of the church. And what I said was, is anybody really in charge here? I mean, what is going on? This seems totally chaotic. We got all these people moving all over the place. Is anyone really in charge here? And what we learn from that is that, yeah, the Spirit is in charge. The Holy Spirit is guiding all of these disparate pieces to come together to grow the early church. And so if we ever think that things are chaotic and out of order, what we need to do is we need to step back and take a look at the big picture. And the big picture is that God is in his heavens and the Spirit is in charge. And so you have Peter who has been preaching and Paul who have been preaching. And our first reading says, while Peter was still speaking these things, the Holy Spirit fell upon all those who were listening to the word. And so what we can glean from that, friends, is that, yeah, God is in charge here, and God knows exactly what's going on, and God is working here. And so you can imagine that Peter and Paul, I'm coming to the point here, folks, you can imagine that Peter and Paul are sometimes feeling like, what are we doing? I mean, is anyone in charge here? And so they have this great commission. Peter and Paul have this great commission, and you and I have this great commission. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and strength, and your neighbor as yourself. And we also have the great commission, which is go forth and make disciples. You slap those two together, and you've got a pretty great challenge. Wait, I've got to love the Lord my God and my neighbor, and I've got to make disciples? I mean, that's quite a challenge. Seemingly insurmountable and unachievable. And so now just imagine for a moment being Peter and Paul and the early apostles having this great challenge. And just imagine them thinking to themselves, what are we do? Is anyone in charge here? Okay, so that's part one. Let's stop there. Jimmy, what do you think?
So they had nothing written down. They had...
Nothing's written down at this point. Yeah, it's being written down, but it's certainly not written down and being distributed.
And this might be a tangent, but you know how there's like a... I don't even know if there's a word for it, but like some people in this country want everything to go back to like it was the founding fathers. And then...
Oh, right.
The whole Reformation was an argument about like, oh, who's really doing it like the first apostles, right?
Right. Yeah.
And my study of the Reformation is that both sides were kind of wrong. And like, no one can exactly say what it was like for Peter and Paul to be doing what they're doing. But
yeah,
like, I'm pretty grateful right now that I have 2,000 years of saints to read about, to learn about.
Yeah.
I have four gospels that have have stood the test of time. But
right.
I can't imagine being Paul just rolling around telling stories. I guess he had the Jewish writings to point to Jesus, but you're not wrong where it was an undaunting task.
Yeah.
With all they had was the Spirit. They didn't have a lot of backup.
Right. Excellent. Yeah, that's a great segue. And so that's a perfect segue then into the second part of the homily. And so here's what I said. I said, I would imagine that in order for them to meet this great challenge, that they needed three things. They needed a little bit of skill, a little bit of talent, and a whole lot of luck. And here's what I said. First, I said skill. So if you've ever taken up a new hobby or you needed a new skill set and you had to learn quickly and without much practice, then you know that the best way to learn that new skill is to start doing it. Just start doing it, especially a technical skill. My one nephew is in the trades. He's going to be a welder, and he's got this job already, and he's not quite out of high school yet, but he's got this job, and he's learning on the job. He's learning on the job, and it's the great way to learn. And so Paul and Peter and the other apostles and the other people of the church, they're just doing it. They're doing it. And As they're doing it, they are honing and perfecting their skill. But the good news is that they already have some innate talent residing like residue in their souls. We call this is a doctrine of the church. It's called the divine indwelling of the Holy Spirit. And that's given to us at baptism. And so when Peter and Paul and the other apostles receive the Spirit of Pentecost, while they might not have the technical skill, they do have some innate propellant inside of them, the power of the Spirit, that is going to activate their souls, activate their will to preach the gospel, to love one another, and to make disciples. And so now their skills are being maximized by this divine indwelling, this indwelling talent of the Holy Spirit. In other words, the external spirit, which is now residing in them, is making them experts, is making them proficient in not only preaching the gospel, but also trying to become saints themselves. And then the third thing is that they need a little bit of luck, but not, let's not call it luck. Let's call it grace. Gratis, gratuity, the free gift of the divine life of God within us. Okay, that's grace. Grace is the divine life within us. And the apostles have that. And so they don't need luck. They are in communion with God. And because Peter and the other apostles are in communion with God, they are able to do what they're called to do. And so they don't need luck. They have God. So they have all that they need to remain in the grace loop. And grace is this, and this is the definition. Here's a definition of grace, okay? Grace is the delicate and synchronized dance between my will and God's will. In other words, grace is when God and I are on the same page. Okay, so how do we meet the
So,
great
Father Craig,
God?
so
Yeah, go
the
ahead.
three things: skill, grace, and then what's the third one?
Like a talent, like an innate talent, like a second nature, like a predisposition that
What's a Catholic word for talent?
I don't know. Maybe something like well, again, like the divine indwelling, like
Like it's
that.
a career, is it something like charisma
Yeah, like
or,
charisma, like a gift
but
of the Spirit. That's a great way to look at it. That's a great way
that's
to
like a
look at it.
Catholic word, right?
That, yeah, absolutely. And that's a word that Paul uses in both Romans and Corinthians. Yeah, charisma, gift,
So
giftedness. Yeah, so, but yeah,
with
keep going.
the whole body of Christ, we're taught all of us have different charismas.
Correct. Yeah, charisms.
Charisms
Charisms.
that,
Yeah. Let's use that word instead of charisma. Charisma sort of has that, hey, I've got charisma. Hey, right? Whereas charism is the gift that is given by the Spirit to build up the body of Christ, which is what you're referring to right now. So keep going.
And then when you were talking about like skill, like the way I've heard it explained to me is like you got to fail fast.
Yeah, that's a great way to think of it.
So
That's a great way to think of it.
they got their charism at Pentecost, and then now it's their own willingness to go out there and fail fast.
Totally, totally. And if you really keep going, yeah.
And what failing fast for them means I'm pretty sure Peter, they definitely wanted to kill him, the Jewish authorities, and then I believe they what do you call it? They there's a different word for getting whipped, but
Oh,
scourged.
they scourged them.
Yeah, I know that happened to Paul several times. It happened to Peter at least once.
Yeah, absolutely. All of them. Yeah, there are several parts in the first 3 or 5 chapters of the Acts of the Apostles where the apostles are publicly whipped and shamed, and remember those very early readings in the Easter season, and they rejoice that they were found willing to suffer for the sake of the name. And so yeah, you'd figure that, at the same time that they're willing to suffer for the name, perhaps they're also remembering the words of Jesus when Jesus tells them, listen, when it's time to preach the gospel, you're also going to have to be clever like foxes. So in other words, they're willing to take a few lumps. They're willing to get stoned a few times. They're willing to get flogged and scourged. But you can also imagine that they're also trying to perfect the skill of preaching the gospel. They're like, okay, you know what? You remember how we got we got up in their face, and condesc, okay, let's not do
Maybe
that
I don't want to
again.
piss everybody off that fast this
Exactly,
time.
exactly. That's exactly what I'm trying to say. That's exactly what I'm trying to say. Yeah. So you figured that they were doing that and, realizing that they're going to have to suffer for the sake of the gospel. So they're doing both things concurrently. And so they're honing their skills, their technical skills, but they have their charisms that are propelling them. And because they are doing what God wants them to do, they reside in the grace loop. And they
Because
are able, go ahead.
it's that willingness to fail fast.
Exactly. Because they're willing to fail, instead of sitting in the upper room for fear of the Jews, which is what they were doing immediately after the crucifixion, when the Spirit moves them, they're willing to get out there and give it a try.
So that's, as I was sitting there this Sunday, that's what got me fired up.
Okay, talk more about that then. Keep going, my friend.
All right, so we can all agree, everybody, our belief is that everybody's given some God-given talent that
True.
they're supposed to use to fulfill the body.
True.
Like, for example, silent monkish prayer is probably not mine.
True.
But so and then, like 3 years ago, talking about God in public, much
Yeah.
less podcasting, like no way.
Right.
So then there is an acquired skill. And
Yeah.
and then it I have noticed that, trying to get people to do Exodus and Acts, like it's an acquired skill.
Yep.
Like I was very much garbage the first time I tried to do it.
Right,
And
right.
in each other time, a little less garbage.
Yeah.
I'm not gonna say it's any good right now, but it's definitely not as bad as it used to be.
Right. And so because you are honing that skill and using the charism that God gave you, you are abiding in the grace loop. And
And that's the iterative game.
that to me it is. I don't know another. I mean, I think we have all the elements here, right? I mean, we have our God-given gifts. We have the desire to want to preach the gospel each in our own way. I do it from the pulpit every Sunday. You do it when you talk to people in your state of life and on the podcast and when you do things for your business. And we're doing it for the expressed purpose of introducing people to Jesus Christ. I think we have all the elements here of doing God's will. And because of that, we stay in the grace loop. So that then brings us then to part three of the homily, and the final part. And this is where the place for prayer comes in. And what I invited people to pray with are three rather what I think if we spent a little bit of time, and I have spent time thinking about these things, is challenging questions, okay? And here they are. Question number one, do I know what God is doing in my life? Do I know what God is doing in my life? That's the first question. Here's the second question. Do I know what I'm doing in my life? Do I know what I'm doing?
Can we stop and chat about that for a second?
Okay, then let me tell you this story first, okay, and then we'll talk
Okay.
about this. I did not, I stole that question from a spiritual director of mine when I was in the seminary. And I was whining about something, and when I got done whining about it, he asked me that question. He says, "Do you know what you're talking about? Do you even know what you're doing? What are you trying to do? What are you, why are we even talking about this? What are what it, and that really stuck with me. And the reason it stuck with me is, well, I'll stop there. Okay. All right. I'm going to stop there. Okay. Now you go.
So, like all the business coaching I've ever experienced and hired,
Yeah.
their first question is, what do you want?
Yeah.
W
Yeah.
why are you doing this? And
Yeah.
then
Yeah.
what I do for a living, like sell people rental portfolios, that's my first question. It's like, why are you doing this? What do you
That's
want?
right. That's
And
right.
no one can answer it.
Yep.
So I when I was listening to your homily, question one's kind of tough, but I'm like, wait a minute.
Yeah.
Everybody's gonna struggle with question two.
Yep.
And if you can't answer question two, it's gonna be really hard to answer question one.
That's right. Thank you. Yep. That's exactly what I wanted us to wrestle with. Do you even know what you're doing? And I don't mean that. I mean, I can very easily ask that question and demand an answer. God is asking me that question. What are you doing with your life? And just because I can't stand to say it anymore, it kind of leads to the third question that I gave everyone, and that is, what kind of direction, meaning, or purpose do you have in life? And really focusing on that word direction, this whole idea of what is the goal? What is the desire? What direction are you moving? Where are you going? And why are you going there? And I think these three questions are very poignant. And I think the three questions can both get us thinking, and they can also convict us to conversion. So in other words, if I'm unable to answer that question, or the answer to the question, do I even know what I'm doing? If that answer contains even an iota of sin, then that's where I have to convert. Does that make sense, everyone? So,
So
okay, so
wait, I
I'll,
got a question.
yeah, go
Sorry.
ahead. No, I'm
So
turning it
like
over to you. Go.
when someone's interested in our CIA, why don't we start there?
Yeah, that's right. Exactly. Yeah. And we start that's a great point. We say, and usually when I talk to people, and I say, well, why do you want to join the church? And they say something like this, well, because I want to have my kid baptized, or well, I'm getting married. And
And have you ever read like Simon Sinek Start With Why?
yeah,
Kind
that's
of
a
a
great
buzzword.
video. Yeah. Yeah, I have read that. But well,
It's kind
I
of
saw the video. I saw the video on YouTube.
it's getting a little cliche-ish,
Yeah.
but then like you gotta ask somebody seven whys to get to the actual point. Is that what
Yeah.
it's like with RCIA?
Yeah, I think so. I think so, because then you have to realize that the reason you're in the church is to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. And I said that towards the end of the homily, right? I said that the answer to those questions are found in Christ and in his church. So do I know what God is doing in my life? I have to look to Jesus Christ and the church. Do I know what I'm doing in my life? I have to look to Jesus and the church. And do I have direction in my life? I have to look to Jesus and the church. And if my answers match up with their answers, then I'm in the grace loop.
Who's there? When you say their answers.
Their answer, the answers that Jesus gives in his teachings and in our church's tradition. Does that make
So,
sense?
yeah. So, you were definitely speaking my love language on Sunday because you mentioned challenge, purpose, and meaning. And then that, to get people in the tent, I think those are the three magic buzzwords.
And my point, just to drive it home from that, from your perspective then, is that the challenges that we should be taking on in life and the adventures that we should be taking on in life have to be centered in Jesus Christ and in the church. Everything else is gonna leave us, it's gonna leave us unfulfilled. It could lead us into sin.
Because Jesus and the church is the one-way path to purpose and meaning.
Exactly. And Jesus says that in the scriptures in several different ways. The one that's coming to mind immediately is the chapter 16 of John's gospel. I am the way and the truth and the life. Everything else is going to leave us unfulfilled, or again, could lead us even into sin. And so those answers to those questions have to be the answers that Jesus teaches. And if they're not, then that's my place for conversion. That's where change is needed. And that's where the wrestling happens. That's where the wrestling happens, to
Oh,
borrow
you mentioned
another.
that too in the homily.
So that was at the very end, right? That was at the
So
very end. Go
let's say
ahead.
somebody's listening to this, and let's say they're like, "Oh, Father Craig, I don't got an answer for any of these, or at least not ones I'd care to share with you."
So here's what I'm here, go ahead.
But that everybody's in this wrestling match. Like, and so I, when you said this homily and I answered those questions, like, oh man, that sucks.
And we all have to wrestle with those. And so what I would recommend you do, if you're
There's
and
nothing, but
go
so
ahead.
there's gonna be an initial guilt thing. Like, what? Father Craig's telling me to wrestle with God? Like, shouldn't I just be submitting? Like, there's a little bit of guilt there, right? That, oh, I'm going to challenge God to a wrestling match. But you seem to be saying, no, that's part of the game.
Absolutely, it's part of the game.
Can you explain
Absolutely.
that? Like,
Yeah. So
how are you
there
not being, the military word would be insubordinate. I don't know the
yeah.
religious word.
Yeah. So there's actually biblical precedent. There's biblical precedent. Let's start with the Old Testament. You have Jacob, who wrestles with God.
And that's what Israel actually means, right?
Exactly, those who wrestle with God. And so you have Jacob, who is wrestling with questions about identity and God's providential care for them and God's promises. And God and Jacob wrestle. Well, it's an angel that Jacob wrestles with. But the point is that Jacob is willing to, again, wrestle with God, to dialogue with God about what God requires. And then you have Elijah, who doesn't want to be a prophet, runs away from God, and then before he goes to Horeb, is sort of obstinate But God reveals himself to Elijah and fortifies him to go back to Jezebel. Now, fast forward to you have Jesus telling Peter that he is going to be strength, he is going to be tested, and he is going to fail. But then Jesus says to Peter, but after you have failed and been reconciled, you must turn around and strengthen your brothers. Then you have Saint Paul, who writes to maybe Timothy. I don't, maybe it's in his letter to Timothy, where he tells Timothy, or he tells whoever he's writing to, work out your own salvation. Wrestle out your own salvation. Work out your own salvation. Figure it out. Figure it out. Bring it to the Lord. Bring confusion to the Lord. Bring a desire to want to live a Christian way of life. And your inability to do so, bring that to the Lord and figure it out. God doesn't want automatons. God doesn't want, we're not, what do they call that with the strings and the
Puppets.
puppets on the end. God doesn't want puppets on the end of the string. He wants us to figure it out, but figure it out with him and figure it out in the church. You can do both at the same time. You can wrestle with these questions. We can wrestle with our own imperfections.
I think there's a big if on that.
Okay. Let's do this. We can
Budget.
wrestle with these imperfections in the church, period, if go.
If you don't think you know it all,
Bingo. Gotta have a
if you believe there's some people and or something that has answers outside of what you can come up with today.
Bingo. That's exactly right. What we've, if I've not said this before, I should have said this a long time ago. Presume Jesus knows something even about me that I don't.
And that's that initial willingness we were talking about at the beginning of the podcast.
Exactly. It takes humility. You have to swallow your pride. We have to check our hubris, and we have to be willing to admit that maybe God knows something even about me that I don't. And that's where humility begins. Have that disposition, and then you'll be able to honestly answer that question, that especially that second question, do I even know what I'm doing with my life? Then you'll
So,
be able to see something like what God is doing in my life, and then that's where we get direction.
can we go? Can I? Let's pretend I want to go 0 to 1 on this challenge.
Go.
Okay, so I asked question number one, which is,
What is God doing in my life?
then I asked question two,
Do I know what I'm doing in my life?
and then for. I'm trying to think, like before I came back to church, I couldn't answer that. So what if I get
Yeah.
stuck on this one? What do I do?
Continue to wrestle. Continue to wrestle. And you said something interesting earlier about desire. What is it you want? That's where Ignatius of Loyola starts the spiritual exercises. He says you have to be able to have the desire to desire. So Jesus offers eternal life, contentment in this life, and eternal happiness in the next. Do you desire that? If you don't want that, pray for the desire to want that. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And so,
Because I would just I will tell you, for me in the beginning, that desire was intermittent and like a whisper, but it felt kind of cool.
Yeah, it felt kind of cool because it's real. It's true. Because
And that,
that's really what we want.
and like I've been through, and so then, like when I do business coaching and coach people that, like I just like get your worst version of it on paper, and then
Totally.
reiterate it every 90 days. But just ex the first time you answer that question, it's gonna be horrible. But it'll evolve. It'll get better.
Yeah, it'll be very superficial when we start. It'll be very
Yeah.
superficial when we start. And then
And
as
then
we
I don't
go,
want to
it'll
pretend
be.
like I know what I'm saying. It's just I've just seen answering that question correctly allow people to buy a lot of real estate.
Yeah, right. And so now you can sort of begin to see how you can really start to wrestle. To go back to our original word, to go back to, excuse me, wrestling with the Lord. Lord, help me understand what you're doing. Help me understand what I'm doing. And
And then
then
what's the third question?
what kind of direction is my life going? What kind of trajectory am I on? What kind of meaning and purpose is informing the direction my life is taking. There's a passage in St. Paul where he talks about how some of the Greeks are motivated by their bellies. That's what he says. He says they're motivated by their appetites. And then he says, and they will come to a fiery death, something like that. And his whole point there is that, you know, if all you did was follow the desires of your appetites, your belly, your libido, at the end of the day, you're going to end up in a pretty dark and dangerous and deadly place. And if that's all that you're going for, then that's where you're going to end up. And so the virtuous path then is, okay, then what kind of meaning and purpose do I have in my life? And am I letting that meaning and purpose dictate the direction that I take my life? And as I look 20 years down the line, 50 years down the line, when I look at my deathbed, where will I have gone and done? What would I have done? Where would I have gone? And is this where I want to arrive?
Do you mind if I give a book recommendation at this point?
Yeah, go ahead, man. Go ahead.
So when I was first struggling with this question, actually Mary Queen of Peace Book Club introduced this to me, but
Nice.
it's a book called God's Voice Within, The Ignatian Way.
Yeah.
The Ignatian Way to Discover God's Will.
Yeah. Yeah.
And
Who's the
it's written
author?
Mark Thibodeau.
Thibodeau, Mark Thibodeau, Father Mark Thibodeau.
But he actually lays out a process that you can do this with. Because I would hear like a homily, like, oh, you should be living God's will. Like, oh, how am I supposed to know what that is?
Yeah, exactly.
And so we could probably do a full podcast on just this book, but he lays it out step by step on how you come to this based on Ignatius's spiritual exercises.
Yeah, the
And so,
desire to desire.
and I'd like to do some more meditating on those three questions, but like even sitting in the pew, I was just like, oh man, those three aren't perfectly aligned. And so I guess you wanted everybody in the audience, the place for prayer for that day was one, come up with those answers. But two, I guess your next step to get to work is to get those three questions to align.
To get those two, to get those three questions to align with what Christ and his church have to offer.
And that's probably going to consist of a great challenge to love your neighbor like yourself,
Keep going.
and then go evangelize that to the world.
Bingo.
Because, like, as we started this podcast, I'm like, Father Craig, that's a big elephant to swallow. And I like to eat elephants a bite at a time.
Amen.
So the
Amen.
first bite is answering those three questions. The next bite is playing the iterative game week by week,
Yep.
figuring out where those three answers are not aligning.
That's exactly right. That's a great way to look at it.
And then hoping and praying and getting inside the grace loop
Yep.
to get those three things aligned.
Yep. And it's gonna take a while, friends. This is not a one and
So wait,
done
that's one of
thing.
those skills things you were talking about earlier?
Bingo. It's gonna take a little while, right? There's gonna be some days are gonna be one step forward and two steps back. Some days will be two steps forward and one step back. That's just the nature of the game. That's just how the game is played. And we have to integrate that into our life. It's an adventure. It's fun.
Like if you were to
Make
tell me, "Oh, Jimmy, you have to do this," I'm like, "Come on!"
Yeah.
But
Right.
you're like, "Oh, this is the challenge." I was like, "Oh, I can do this. I can figure it
Yeah,
out."
exactly. Yeah, get to wrestling. Get to wrestling. Well, friends, we hope you enjoyed this podcast and this deep dive into a homily that I preached on the sixth Sunday of Easter. We hope that you let me mention these questions one more time, just in case you're keeping track. Do I know what God is doing in my life? Do I know what I'm doing in my life? And do I have direction, meaning, and purpose? And we want to answer those questions in light of the Gospels of Jesus Christ. And we want to make sure those answers align with the Gospel of Jesus Christ. So that's your homework, friends. I know that that's a lot, but let's get after it here. So we're gonna keep moving, and Chuck and Jimmy, thank you for the idea here to preach on this, to do a podcast on it. We hope you've enjoyed the podcast. We're gonna say a closing prayer here. Jimmy's gonna give us the deal, and we're gonna go from there. But I do want to say this one last thing before we pray, and that is, I want to invite members of our community and even members of not our community to check out our new Adoration Chapel. The code is 1248. And it's Jesus is there, ready to greet you in prayer. So come on up to our Adoration Chapel. Check out more information on our website. Okay, let's pray in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Father, we want to give you thanks and praise this afternoon for bringing us together to just reflect a little bit on trying to hone our skills and our charisms and our desire to do your will. Help us to abide in you, to make our home in you. Keep us in the grace loop so that we might rise to meet the great challenge you give us. We make this prayer through Christ, who is Lord, forever and ever. Amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. All right, Jimmy, you want to close us out?
If you're getting value out of this podcast and like it, please share it and please subscribe to it on iTunes and leave us a review.
Beautiful. Thank you, everyone. We will see you next time on Opening Up the Tent.